Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Rich Eisen.
If you're good enough to win the East, you should beat the Nets.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, yes.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Durant, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie, let's go.
Let's go!
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, CBS Sports NFL analyst Charles Davis, NFL Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Yes, indeed. It's here on a Thursday, 2 weeks before the NFL draft in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we are already a couple of play-in games into the NBA. Don't call them playoffs yet, but there will be playoff games played between both the 8 and 9 seeds. And Good times, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We have a lot of football on the brain. Ian Rappaport and Charles Davis and Kurt Warner, my colleagues from the NFL Media Group, will all be on this program to talk about what's going to happen starting 2 weeks from today in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'd love to hear from you at 844-204-RICH, whether you're watching on NBC Sports on Peacock or you're listening to us on SiriusXM Channel 85, NBC Sports Audio, the Odyssey app, or this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us with some help from Westwood One and the Cumulus Podcast Network. We say hello to our podcast listeners and now the 401,000 subscribers to the Rich Eisen Show YouTube page and still growing. Good to see you, Christopher Brockman.
Rich, what's up, man?
Lots going on in the world.
There's so much happening. There's actually no basketball tonight, which is a little bizarre.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, what do we need, off days? Like, come on.
I guess so. I guess that should be part of making the 9-10 game. As you win it, you got to get on.
Got to play the next day. Yeah, back to back. Let's
think?
Go.
I guess it's hard enough to win two games in a row.
Rich, we're having a perfect show already, and I promise I won't ask out of the game.
I think you should. You want to pull me right now? But I think I can still go.
I don't know, man. We got a long season. It's a long year. You know, there's still months until football.
TJ, don't you think I still have some gas left in the tank right here?
I don't know, man. It seemed like you were struggling a little bit.
Don't you see that? Jay, I sound good, right? Yeah. I sound good. I don't know.
I'm helping you out.
Here's the thing. Am I on a word count?
Possible, Rich.
Am I on a word count?
I want to tighten up those questions today.
How about this? If my takes start to have less bite, then you'll know maybe it's time.
Maybe it's time. You may not get the full 3 hours in.
Nobody steps on their own Johnson quite like Major League Baseball.
Would that be a bad thing, though, if you think about it?
And I don't mean Walter. I don't mean Randy.
Nope. Wow.
Nobody steps on it quite like Major League Baseball. Hey, lockout's over. Awesome. Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
Hey, did you know last night Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit not one, not two, but three home runs against the New York Yankees in York City, including a 400-plus foot blast on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball up and in on him. We're showing the photograph of this.
Photo.
I don't know how his left elbow looks the way that it does on a pitch so damn in. And you could also, you can't tell because he's wearing gloves. He had also lacerated one of his hands. In the playing field, bleeding profusely. Yeah, yeah. They wrap it. He stays in the game, and he hits his second home run on a pitch 98 miles an hour up and in that you think it's great. You just got a piece. Oh, he got all of it, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. John Axford tweeted it out saying he thinks he just officially retired. 427 feet. I can't believe the man hit a ball as far as that he did, where the ball was placed. And because we love the sport, we're kind of leading with that. But baseball isn't like the NFL or even the NBA where huge shot, right? Huge shot or big play, and we're talking about it the next day, and people might be calling in about, is that player the best or that player the best, or where is that player rank in terms of the history, or what's going on in the season, even though it's that early. No. The only thing that people actually call in to talk about on this show about baseball, or we see the metrics, is when baseball steps in it. And they step in it again, even though it's not their intention to do it. And great baseball people like Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw are the ones who actually do it. And I just want to put it all out there and then kind of bring it all full circle about what I think the problem is. So Clayton Kershaw, you called our attention to it, Christopher, as we were going the door yesterday. Right around, 2:30 Eastern time, 1:30 local time in Minnesota, on a cold day, Clayton Kershaw making his first start of the season, and they put him deep in the rotation to start the season to just give him a little extra time at his advanced age, and he had 2 months of arm inflammation last year that caused him to miss that much time. And he signs a one-year, $17 million deal to come back to Los Angeles. This guy's going in the Hall of Fame. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. We all know it.
No doubt.
And the one thing missing from this guy's resume is a perfect game. And, that's not news because it's missing from pretty much every other human being that's ever pitched in Major League Baseball's resume. There's only been 23 of them.
Exactly.
23 of them. So when you've got a chance to throw one, and you have one every single time you go out there, but you have a chance to throw one and complete one, man, you've got to take that chance. You got to. Certainly when the numbers in-game support it. Now, that's what we're all talking about. Pitch count and analytics and going through the lineup and how many different teams focus on it. It's all 30 now, folks. It's all 30 now. And Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, has always been on the hot seat for this sort of thing with fans about always turning to those dreaded numbers that the front office is, we all believe, imposing upon this good man. Who came up with one of the more grit, gutsy, and heart-filled plays in the history of Major League Baseball, postseason play. He is written in Red Sox lore for taking that base against the Yankees years ago in the 2004 American League Championship Series. And this guy has now taken not one but two pitchers out of perfect games with 7-plus innings. Rich Hill had a blister. This guy and Clayton Kershaw just had, time off last year. He's advancing age. His arm needs more rest. And it's 38 degrees out. Guy had a perfect game working through seven with 80 pitches, five fewer than apparently what after the game was the number by which at which the manager and pitcher had agreed upon before he went out for his seventh inning. One more inning or 85 pitches, that's what we're going to do. They agreed. And then he finished the seventh inning still perfect with just 80 pitches.
Maybe throw that plan out.
And out goes Kershaw. Here's what both men had to say about it. First up is the pitcher in Clayton Kershaw after the game had this to say.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, I feel bad for Barnsey. You know, Barnsey did such a great job, and it's fun to get to catch one of those. And so I wanted to do it with Barnsey. You know, it'd be special. And but at the end of the day, those are individual things. Those are selfish goals, and we're trying to win. You know, and that's really all we're here for. And as much as I would have wanted to do it, I've thrown 75 pitches in a sim game. You know, and I hadn't gone six innings, let alone seven. And sure, I would have loved to do it, but you know, maybe we get another chance. Who knows?
In the moment, can you reconcile all of that?
Yeah.
There was no part of you that wanted to fight to stay in or anything?
I just said, I mean, I would have loved to have stayed, but bigger things, man, bigger things.
Bigger things, as in a full long season and staying healthy for it, and that's exactly what Dave Roberts was pointing out afterwards. Barnsey, by the way, is Austin Barnes, the catcher, who for whom a perfect game is just as important. There's, mm-hmm. you know, you're written in lore as well. And we'll get to Austin Barnes in a second. But here's what Dave Roberts had to say.
You know, I think there's a point where you just got to decide. I got to decide to what end. And I'm as big a fan as anyone and a fan of Clayton. And to see a battery of him and Austin throw a perfect game or a no-hitter, I'm all in. But again, to what end or to what cost? And so every decision I make is for the best interest of the player, their health, and the ball club. Because there's a lot of people that, you know, are cheering for the Dodgers, not only just for today and Clayton to throw a no-hitter, but for the Dodgers to win the World Series.
Not a Dodger fan that I know of that I've spoken to in the last 24 hours that wanted Clayton Kershaw taken out of that game. Period. End of story. Full stop. Dave Roberts knows that, too. Dave Roberts knows that, too. Here's the issue. Written. March. Is baseball has become a game not of inches, but of metrics. Inch is a metric, but of metrics. That's the issue. The heart, the soul, has been sucked out by metrics. And to the point where we fans can't tell the difference between a decision made for metrics or a decision made for health reasons, or a decision made on gut and feel without all of that. We can't tell the difference anymore because we're just assuming it's all about metrics because we're seeing broadcasts. That was an exit velocity of such and such a thing on a ground ball that was a quick one hop to the shortstop. We're still talking about exit velocity. We're talking about shifts and where they are, and we're talking about guys who are openers, not starters. And we're talking about guys who come out of the pen and throw 100 miles an hour. And we're going to take guys out at 4 2/3 innings who started a game because they're tiring, because they've got 80 pitches. They got 70 pitches. Pitch count this, pitch count that. I yearn for the days when we had pitchers who said, screw the pitch count. Screw. Those days are gone, though. They're over. They are long gone. This is what really hurt me yesterday out of all of it. Okay. Austin Barnes, this was his quote. When asked what Kershaw said to him after Kershaw hugged him in the dugout to tell him that the perfect game was over, Barnes said that Kershaw said, sorry. Quote, I knew it was the right call and stuff like that, but I thought we could get it done. That's baseball. That's baseball. Because the baseball that I grew up loving, the baseball I grew up and fell in love with and still are trying to instill in my children, are the baseball of A League of Their Own. The line that Tom Hanks said in A League of Their Own to the Gina Davis character, Dottie, who was leaving on the eve of the World Series to go back home with her husband, to saying that the game just got too hard. He said to her, this is a famous quote from the movie, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great. And yesterday, the hard was right in front of the Dodgers, right in front of their manager, and right in front of their pitcher. And they would tell you the hard thing was to take him out. The hard thing is to go for it. That's the hard thing. And they took the less hard way out because it's a long season. That's what makes baseball great. It is a long season. And what baseball needs is Clayton Kershaw to pitch a perfect freaking game. That's what baseball needs. Because we're still stuck too much on all the other crap that makes it feel like what we're watching is somebody's chess game with a slide rule. Not what makes it great. Maybe unfair to say it, but that's the way I'm feeling about baseball, and that's what upset me about yesterday. The latest instance. Numbers, pitch count, whatever. I mean, Kershaw said that his slider was beginning to fail. Okay, let's see it out there on the mound in the eighth, brother. Let's go. That's what makes it great, is that it's hard. And the hard decision taking him out, sure, very hard. Would have been harder to actually try for it.
Yeah, taking him out was the easy move.
Let's go, man.
The easy move. And I'm not going to be as eloquent as you, go. Rich. It just sucks. It just sucks as a fan of baseball and a fan of cool, amazing, once-in-a-lifetime moments.
It killed me to hear Austin Barnes say, that's baseball. Is it really? Is it? Is it? Because it never used to be that way in my mind.
No.
Is it? Now it's baseball, pitch counts and degrees and temperature and this and that. How do you feel? I feel good. Go for it. Gut, feel. Where is that anymore, man? It's still there. It's still there. I know it. I believe it. It's just not at the forefront anymore. Enough for us to believe it is. How do you fix that? Let's take a break and turn to football, shall we? Ian Rappaport, when we join the rest of you on the other side of this break here on Peacock and Sirius XM and this Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. What's going on with Baker Mayfield and how it figures into the draft? Charles Davis, Kurt Warner on those subjects as well here on the Rich Eisen Show on this busy Thursday. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. All right, let's move to football. It calms me down. I don't know why I'm so hyped about this.
You really? I like it.
I don't know.
Because it sucks. That's why it sucks. It's okay. I'll say it. You don't have to say it. I say it. It sucks.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Chris.
I don't know one person who was like, great move.
I see a few who know the decision making and are close to Roberts and baseball and the thought process and Kershaw.
He manages scared.
And you got to be smart. No, it is the cautious approach. Slow and steady wins the race.
That sucks. I don't even like the Dodgers. I don't know why, you know what I mean.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I can tell you love baseball, because this has nothing to do with you, and yet.
Well,
really feeling that
TJ,
way.
A fellow diehard Met fan, is on the phone line right now, joining me from the NFL Media Group. Can't wait to be in Las Vegas with him, letting the good times figuratively roll. 2 weeks from tonight as part of NFL Network's draft coverage, Ian Rappaport back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Ian?
I'm good. I want to ask first, I want to obviously weigh in on baseball. Can you guys hear the music in the background? Is it okay, or do I need to go to a quieter spot?
Where are you?
I'm finishing up lunch with my two boys after jumping on trampolines.
Oh.
Ian, I think we're good, right? Would you all agree with this?
Yeah,
okay.
We're good.
Well, as long as you're clear, that's all I care about in this bouncy house known as the Rich Eisen Show.
So let me just weigh in real quick, since obviously you guys want to talk to me for my baseball takes. I am a Mets fan, as I'm sure you guys know. One of the greatest moments in Mets history was Johan Santana's no-hitter. It was great. I remember where I was listening on the radio. The call was great. It has happened. It's amazing. And it basically ended his career. So then it's the question of, and that was really the worst-case scenario, right? So it's like, is it worth putting your pitcher at risk for one amazing moment in time? And a perfect game would have been awesome in April for a team with World Series aspirations. If you think about the worst-case scenario being actually possible, is that worth it to do to your pitcher, who clearly will want to be out there and who really doesn't get a say because he's going to push the pitch no matter what?
Well, I guess you could make the case that, you know, you're one throw away from being, you know, Dave Gervecki too. You know what I mean? Every single time you throw your arm, you know. But you are pointing out, obviously, what would have been an extreme result from Clayton Kershaw yesterday. Yeah. And
also, if that would have happened, if his last career start is a perfect game, he's remembered for all time. It's like the greatest last start ever.
But that's Johan too. And like, he would probably say it's worth it just because of the place it has in Mets history. I assume he says it's worth it. But like, this is a team that, you know, the Mets might be good now, but usually they're not very good. So like, is that worth putting him at risk for one game? Which like, even still, you know, what are the actual chances of just finishing the final two innings perfect? Probably not. Probably less than 50% would be my guess. I don't know.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's go back to our lane then. So 2 weeks from tonight, the biggest surprise will be what? Crystal ball it for me. What do you think? From what you're hearing or what you think might actually happen 2 weeks from tonight?
My guess, the biggest surprise would be how early a quarterback goes, right? Because we are talking about for the last 2 weeks and then for the next 2 weeks, you know, how bad the quarterback class is, and there's no one who's coming to be an immediate starter, and, you know, Kenny Pickett has a low ceiling, they say, and, you know, Malik Willis is the guy with probably all the tools and talent, but he needs a year or two, and this is what everybody says. But we know from doing this, and I mean, Derek Carr's contract is a great example yesterday. If you have one, it's amazing, but you got to pay so much to keep him. So my hunch, just hunch, is that a quarterback goes earlier than we would anticipate, because it is worth the lottery ticket if you somehow just magically hit. That is a free pass for the next 3 or 4 years at least.
Okay, so the quarterback's taken at six by Carolina or a trade? What do you think?
I mean, that's the question, though, is like, does Carolina take one, or does someone trade up ahead of Carolina thinking they're going to take one? Like, the one of the weirder trades we've seen is the Saints and Eagles trade, right?
Yes.
And everybody was like, wow, a trade. Hold on. What does this actually mean? So, like, usually the reaction to a draft trade is everybody loses their mind. This one, it was like, oh, huh, what does that actually mean, right? And I don't know. It could mean that the Saints get three players in the top 50. They roll those guys out there, and they're probably a pretty good team with a great defense this year. Or it could mean the Saints got almost exactly enough draft power to move ahead of the Panthers at six. Both are true. I just don't know which is going to happen, but they do have enough to trade up if they want, and they do have enough to take three great players in the top 50. So that's the question, is do the Panthers take one at six, does someone trade up in front of them to take one first?
And while we still have the crystal ball out, the quarterback would be which one? Which one?
I would guess that it would be Malik Willis, just because he's so talented. And, like, you know, I think Kenny Pickett will be a really good pro. My guess is that Kenny Pickett is this year's Mac Jones, who gets drafted into a really good situation, plays, and is good quickly. Whereas, you know, Malik Willis is probably what the 49ers hope to God Trey Lance is, which is someone who might need a year, but when they are on the field is awesome enough to make it all worth it.
And then, of course, there's things that we can't predict, Ian Rappaport. Like last year, if you had a crystal ball, you would have said the biggest draft night surprise would be Aaron Rodgers somehow either making it known or it became known, right? that he was no longer going to be playing for the Packers. And now this year, I think the big story going in involving a quarterback is how will the draft affect Baker Mayfield's future? What can you tell me about Baker Mayfield as we're 2 weeks before the draft right now, Ian Rappaport?
Well, if we're doing the crystal ball, I would say I would go the opposite. Just my hunch for how it will play out is that Baker Mayfield will actually affect someone's draft slot.
Aha!
Because, like, let's think about it. You know, last year, you know, the Broncos didn't take a quarterback. Now I think they're set at quarterback for a little bit. But last year we were all wondering. And they traded for Teddy Bridgewater, and that really probably took them out of the quarterback game, right? So this year, Baker Mayfield is available. Generally, these quarterbacks go when they have to go. A real and true deadline is before the draft, because if you're a team that, you know, might think about taking one, do you say, all right, we're going to take Baker Mayfield with a really high ceiling, a pretty high price tag, but that probably would be eaten up a little bit by the Browns, and we're just saying we're good at quarterback. That would be the thing that could happen before the draft. And that will really set up some draft boards and probably shake things up a little bit.
And that team would be what? Seattle, the one that he identified in his podcast appearance that dropped on Wednesday? Is that...
I liked, by the way, how I was talking to someone about his podcast appearance, and I'm like, oh, wow, Baker's going to be on this podcast. And the reaction was like, don't worry, he's not going to be talking about football. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, lies. he talked all about football, of course. I don't know how much interest Seattle has at that price. If the price comes down, if you know the Browns are willing to eat a lot of it, maybe we're talking. But like, I don't know about that. My sense is the Panthers would be a good spot or a really good backup spot where he would come in for like as like a $7 million, $6 million backup and be the heir apparent somewhere. That would make sense too.
Is that a Tampa? What do you think?
Well, Tampa would be a great spot. You know, when it was Bruce Arians, I would have had a better idea. It's Todd Bowles now, so I'm not so sure, but that would be an interesting spot and not crazy and would probably make some sense.
What did you make out of Baker's comments about being disrespected by Cleveland and talking about in the locker room that wherever he goes, it just matters if he's respected and not liked. what did you make of everything that on that podcast as a whole, Ian?
I would say a couple things. First of all, Baker Mayfield seems to be sort of, what do they say, comfortable in his own skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he knows he's not going to be liked by everyone, so he's kind of moved on by that, and he's like, I'll just be respected. I'm like, cool. And he's, you know, he's not for everyone. He is kind of prickly. He says what he thinks all the time, which I like, but not everybody likes. So he seems pretty solid with his place in society. I kind of like that. The other thing is, I understand why he'd be disrespected. You guys know my opinion on this. We've went over it a couple months ago, but if we don't remember, I'll refresh your memory.
Please.
I know that we all exist in this world until someone can find a better replacement, right? That's you, that's me, that's really all of us. And if Baker Mayfield had that thought process, then he would be okay with this because the Browns were not going to move on from him. He was going to be their starting quarterback. That was 100% certain. He wanted to be traded. They were not going to trade him. It was definitely happening unless they could get Deshaun Watson, a top five quarterback that it seemed they had a really, really, really outside chance of getting, and they somehow got. So, yes, I understand that he is feeling disrespected. I totally get it. But it was a once-in-a-million scenario, and sometimes that happens.
Yeah, and then he also talked about how he tore his labrum. I mean, he had no business playing football. He should have. He said he has no regrets. I would say he should have just sat out. He should have sat down. If he couldn't play, then you know he shouldn't have played. And now he might not be in a similar predicament. I don't know. What would you say to that?
Definitely not be in a similar predicament. Like, no, to me, just this is whatever the opposite of a crystal ball is, the hindsight 2020 crystal ball thingy.
Right.
Is there? There's no opposite of a crystal ball, right?
I don't think so. You either know or you have one or you don't. Last I checked,
it's yeah, from, in the Wayback Machine, guys, what's the Wayback Machine in Harry Potter called?
I haven't seen
what's
that.
What's the thing where you go back in time in Harry Potter?
Whatever that is.
The Time Turner?
There you go, okay.
Here.
Oh, very good.
If you go in the Time Turner in Harry Potter, then I would say if he could go back and just have surgery, I'm pretty sure he'd be the starting quarterback of the Browns now because he wouldn't have played bad. It'd be a guy who just led him to a playoffs, and he'd say, this is my quarterback of the future. So, like, he always wants to play, just like Kershaw always wants to pitch. But you can't do that, you know? So the worst-case scenario happened for him, which is he didn't play well, and they ended up replacing him.
Way to weave it all together. Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show, standing while his kids are going crazy in a bouncy house. So what the Raiders all in on Derek Carr? Was there a point though at all combine? Because I was hearing a ton of stuff where it was possible he could be had for a king's ransom, and the Raiders decided to go in a different direction. What do you think?
I don't think so. I know teams were interested. I know teams were trying, but they've been trying for 2 years. This was different from last year because. Not by now, but last year, let's say the combine, I thought there was a realistic chance Derek Carr would be traded, and I thought it might be the Patriots. And then instead, the Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler trade themselves to the Raiders and keep Derek Carr, and he stays. So once, like, I pretty much knew right when Josh and Dave Ziegler were hired that Derek Carr would be staying and be their quarterback because that was the guy they wanted. Like, if they could have traded for anyone, it would have been literally the quarterback they have. So I knew when other teams were interested, it probably wasn't going to go anywhere. And then they doubled down with Davante Adams, and it's like, all right, now we really know.
So how good do you think they can be, Ian? What do you think? I'll just go straight football analysis with you. What do you think?
I think really good. They got a lot better. They had one of the best, you know, they traded for one of the best receivers in football. They're not going to have to deal with all the stuff last year, which was Gruden and Ruggs and everything bad.
Right.
I'm not sure they were as good last year as we all thought. Like, I think they had four overtime wins. Like, they had a lot of stuff go right. But they are going to be better this year. So, like, to me, like, playoff team and team that has a chance to make some real, real, real noise in the playoffs. That's how good.
Okay, in a couple minutes I have left with you. Why isn't Tyrann Mathieu signed somewhere? What's going on with that? What do you think?
Because he's not in a rush. I remember I got a message from someone really close to Tyrann Mathieu a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I want to break everything. And I'm like, oh, this is a big free agent. Let me get in front of this and figure out where he's going. And the response I got was like, calm down. He's going to focus on his family. He's going to focus on his body, getting himself in great shape. I believe he's working with Tom Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero, now to work some flexibility to kind of help him with some, you know, be a little more pliable late in his career. And he was focused on that. So I was focused on him going somewhere. He was focused on getting better and then going somewhere. So he's not in a hurry. He definitely could have signed. Wouldn't have been a great offer, but he could have signed. And I think it's really like, you know, for the teams that are interested, and we know them, they're at least the Eagles and the Saints, it'll be the same thing as Baker Mayfield. It'll be sign Tyrann Mathieu or probably, you know, pick a defensive back early in the draft.
Okay. And then do you want to take a bite at the story du jour that Brady and Sean Payton were going to Miami and then the Brian Flores lawsuit put the kibosh on all that? I mean, is there any there on that front? Ian,
I mean, I've heard rumors. I mean, I'm sure the same rumors as everyone else. To me, you know, I have not reported that on NFL Network.
Yes, I know.
As I'm sure you know. I've heard it. I've heard it from people who definitely claim to know. I have not gotten anything from the people who are literally in the know who would be doing it. And so to me, I have stayed away from it. I don't doubt that there are rumors. I am certain that some parts of it is true or are true. I just don't know what. And so until I get 100% certainty on what that actually was, I will probably just let those rumors kind of linger out there.
I got
you. You know, some good reporters. But,
okay. No, I know that. And where do you stand on the Brady wanted Arians out, and thus Arians went out? Where do you stand on that?
I don't think that's true. I really don't. And, you know, it's one of those things, like I tweeted the night that that BA retired, you know, basically about how he got to do what he wished, which is hand his team over to his top lieutenant, Todd Bowles, with a great chance of winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
It was everything he wanted, and I got accused of all sorts of things on social media, which tends to happen. And I'm like, okay, either, you know, and I've talked to, I would say, 6 or 7 Buck sources and people close to Brady who all say that's completely ridiculous. And who said it was ridiculous throughout. And so could everyone be lying to me? Sure. Theoretically possible. There could be some great vendetta to make sure that everyone tells the same lies to me at the same time. I guess that's possible. Or Bruce Arians just got his team set, signed all the free agents, got Brady back, and handed Bowles the best team he could imagine. The other thing I would say is, with all due respect to Bruce Arians, who I really, really like, I'm not so sure how much he did the last year, honestly. I mean, he was the guy, he made all the decisions in the end, but Brady did the offense with Byron Leftwich. And it's not like, you know, there was a story that Bruce Arians would come in with a red pen and, you know, redo the offense. Like, that's not true. Like, Brady and Byron just did it themselves. And that's from several people who were there even before the story, any of the stories came out. So, like, there'd be no reason for Brady to want Bruce Arians out because he wasn't that involved. And Brady was, and Leftwich were running it.
And they still will be again this year, right?
Yeah, sure will.
Because Brady's not a Dolphin in the front office or anything. That's the one part about that, too, is that so Brady's going to retire, go to be in the front office, and then turn around and say, I want to play the minute that Sean Payton retires.
Which I don't think is even legal.
Well, I mean, well, it would require an insane amount of compensation for both Tampa and New Orleans,
not
right?
Not even that. Can't you not play if you are a part owner of a team? Or am I wrong on that?
I think you're correct about that.
And yeah. So the NFL is going to make an exception? Maybe, but it's like, think about how many different steps along the way we have to go for right. that story to be 1,000% true. Again, maybe some of it, but I don't know. I don't have it good enough to report, so I will let that lie.
Ian Rappaport, thank you, sir. Go back to being Father of the Year. Thanks so much. I'll see you in Las Vegas, where neither of us will be Fathers of the Year. We'll be working hard and hopefully sharing a meal or the like. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
That would be fantastic.
Excellent.
All right. I'll see you there.
See you soon, buddy. Okay, that's Ian Rappaport, everybody.
Yeah, part of that Brady stuff too, Rich, is that he was going to join the Dolphins front office.
Right.
And possibly take a year off and then come back, kind of pause his ownership or his front office role.
Like a blind trust.
To quarterback the team. And that's why I thought it was really interesting when Gronk was on Jimmy Kimmel. Gronk mentioned that, I kind of thought Tom was going to take a year off, which makes me think all of this is true.
How do you take a year off at age 45 and then come back and turn the machines back on at age 46?
Which is why Mike Florio and others have said, like, Brady's whole retirement, which he never said the word, was a retirement from Tampa, not from the league.
Wow. There's so much
it's
stuff
crazy.
Going on.
And then the conspiracy that people think that Belichick knew all along.
That's crazy. And texted, you sent me that in a
and
text,
texted
please.
Brian Flores.
Mistakenly on purpose, like Larry David?
Yes, mistakenly on purpose, that getting Flores to kind of set the whole wheels in motion to blow it all up so Brady never went to Miami at
all. The mistake text on purpose, yes. Just like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Correct. That's the whole, I don't know
once
if I
helped Funkhauser
that,
get out of a very difficult right, spot. Right. Like, that's what Belichick did to Flores to enrage him enough to take a step in a lawsuit just to blow up whatever was going on with Tom Brady saying he's retired, but he's actually going to join a front office with the plan to unretire and be the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins with Sean Payton, who retired with the intention of unretiring and being the head coach there.
Correct.
Okay.
I understand.
It's like Game of Thrones. It's like insane.
I know that, but there are also some very incredibly dynamic and highly professional people who think this happened.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
And are saying that. Our friend Florio is saying this was happening.
Yeah, Ben Folan in the Globe reported it over the weekend. Like, yeah.
Right. These are not fly-by-night individuals.
No.
These are people buttoned up and authors and friends of the program.
It's crazy.
And yet Brady will be out there with Evans and Godwin and Russell Gage. Mm-hmm. And we assume Gronk will come in from
Fournette,
the cold and Fournette and running it back.
Yep.
And Miami gets Mike McDaniel who is, as you know, someone who had us at Hello, and with Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki and Cedric Wilson and Tyreek Hill and Raheem Mostert and Miles Gaskin. He's still there, right?
Chase Edmonds, too, right?
Chase Edmonds, right? Okay. Yep.
AFC and Tua. Be fun.
And Tua. So, everybody back to their corners. Come out fighting. Come out fighting.
Introducing first.
He takes a year off at 45.
Come on.
He's like, I'm coming back at 46. I'm well rested.
Come on.
I mean, it's hard to believe he's winning games at 44, too, but.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll set up hour number two with Charles Davis. And I've got an idea I want to forward to everybody here about wide receivers available in this year's draft and what it might mean for a team that takes the right one. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. For those of us on the terrestrial radio audience, you missed the best segment in the history of this program. Go to our YouTube page for that. Baker would not give the dog next to him a belly scratch. Unless I missed it. I didn't see all the podcasts.
Rich, if that's a boy dog, that's just a very awkward angle for the dog to be like, yo, what up, Baker?
Not if
like,
the dog has been properly neutered, you know, to help control the pet population, as Bob Barker would admonish the Price is Right audience long before you went on and blew it.
Hey, did I blow it, Rich Eisen? Let's think about what you just said right now.
EJ, why do you just open the door for him to walk through all the time?
Because he enjoys it.
He's talking about a dog's situation.
He enjoys it.
I didn't mean blow it. I didn't mean blow it. I meant get up out of contestants row and entertain a nation while, you know, getting all the way through without winning really a significant cash or prize.
Yeah, and helping this show get a Sports Emmy nomination.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, so
that's true. It was
welcome.
A major part of our Sports Emmy reel.
You definitely blew it.
Yeah, I want you to say that when you're standing on stage with that trophy, though. How about that? Then you tell me I blew it.
Where's the ping pong table?
Where is that?
It's still at home.
Oh, cool. Enjoying it.
You know, it's not like we don't have the room here.
Feller, make me say it again.
I'm going to share with you guys. I don't know how this is going to play on radio or this show.
Well, if you got to say it like that, it's not going to play.
I don't know. I have no idea. The same way that I didn't think the Price is Right segment was going to play all that well, watching you on a TV radio simulcast
I'm
the Price is Right without able to show what's going on.
I'm still confused and that as to why that was a question.
So, look, I have on my phone a bunch of music that I downloaded on my phone years ago because my kids digged it as small children.
Yeah.
Okay. And every now and then it plays when it connects to my car when I turn the car on. You know what I mean? Like when your phone connects to the car.
Or the Bluetooth.
And for some reason, there's a function I can't turn off that the music on my phone plays the minute it connects.
Yep.
And so it's kind of like a mix of... A mix of songs that I haven't heard in years.
Is it like kids bop stuff?
Or like the Muppet movie soundtrack. You know, the Jason Segel Muppet movie soundtrack.
The newer one.
And it's some delightful music.
I
haven't heard it in a while. And then there's like the U2 song that came with the phone
The free U2 album that nobody asked for?
I don't know how to turn it off.
Yeah.
You can't delete it.
I don't know how to turn it off.
You can't.
But one song, and then I'll be driving along, And I don't realize that it's happened, and I'm just singing the music like it's 7 years ago. And so one song is on my phone because the album's on my phone because my daughter really liked it when she was really young. And that's a Katy Perry album.
Okay.
And one song came on yesterday, and I hadn't heard it in years. I mean, years. And it's a great tune. Like, I'm singing along with it, and it's a great song. That's why she's incredibly popular. It's called Last Friday Night, TGIF.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I'm now, for the first time, listening to the lyrics of a song that my young daughter was listening to.
Oh, goodness.
And every last word of it makes me think, oh, my God, if my daughter does this one day, I'm not going to get any sleep on a Friday night.
Oh, I'm reading the lyrics right now.
The lyrics, again, there's a stranger in my bed. There's a pounding in my head, glitter all over the room, pink flamingos in the pool. I smell like a mini bar. DJ's passed out in the yard. Barbie's on the barbecue. This a hickey or a bruise? Pictures of last night ended up online. I'm thinking of this to myself. I'm like, this would be a nightmare.
This is a nightmare. This is a nightmare.
I'm screwed. Oh, well, it's a blacked out blur, but I'm pretty sure it ruled damn last Friday night. You know, it's a great song. We danced on tabletops. We took too many shots. Think we kissed, but I forgot. Last Friday, I kicked out of a bar. Went streaking in a park. Skinny dipping in the dark. Then we had I can't even say what they had. It's French with the number 3 in it. Last Friday night, and then it gets to the lyric, this Friday night, do it all again. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, my daughter was listening to this.
Sounds like my
birthday. And I'm like, just so checked out as a dad, I'm not listening to it.
You're just happy they're quiet in the back and not fighting and just, all right, whatever's playing.
Yes. Whatever got me through the moment, just peace and quiet.
Wait, so this came on the other day and you were just
on
like,
my phone because I had it on my phone.
And it just autoplayed.
Yes.
Right to last Friday night. My friend Bonnie McKee co-wrote that song with Katy Perry, by the way.
What the hell was she doing on a Friday night? Were you a part of these Friday nights?
I've seen some of them, but no, not directly.
It's a great song. I mean, it's a,
I think the city towed my car.
Oh, my God. That's the, by the way, out of all of them, I would be, that's the one I'd sign for. That's the most tame out of all of them. And I know when I was a kid, my parents were like, what songs are you listening to? What are these? And I'm like, you're listening to the lyrics? I'm just listening to the music. And I'm hoping that was the same thing that my kids are listening to.
Rich, you were, this is back when you were doing Tokyo Gold. I think we had Ben.
This past summer?
Yeah, Ben Lyons in there. Mm-hmm. A story came up that once I had an old NWA cassette.
Yes.
Ice Cube's group. This is after he left. And they had an album that was, I don't even know how to say this. It was a phrase, but it was spelled backwards. And anyway, there was a particular song on there that I had accidentally left my headphones and my speaker.
Yes.
And my mom, I guess, went into my room that day when I was at school to clean, picked up the headphones and listened to this NWA song. And her and my aunt, when I got home, were sitting there waiting for me. Bro, it was just a nightmare.
Well, guess where I'm going to be on a Friday night about 4 or 5 years from now?
Wait, sitting on the couch waiting for Taylor?
No, telling my daughter you're staying home tonight.
Baby Shark. Doo, doo, doo.
That's the one was listening to this song years ago.
Baby Shark. The song could also be you and Ian in Las Vegas.
Oh. No way. No thanks.
No, Brockman, that'll be whatever the theme to The Hangover was. That'll be
chandeliers on the floor, ripped my favorite party dress, warrants out for my arrest, think I need a ginger ale. That was such an epic fail. And I'm playing. It's on my phone because I put it on my phone because my kids were listening to it.
Time to have a chat.
Dude.
With Tay Tay.
No. I don't know how. She hasn't listened to it in a while. God, thank you very much.
We maxed our credit cards and got kicked out.
Am I wrong? I think I'm spot on. I think everything I've said this first hour has just been dead on accurate.
Dead balls on it.
I know. Thank you very much. Trying to keep it clean after I'm reading these lyrics
on the Rich Eisen show. Peacock only.
Oh, that's
Peacock
true. Only. It's Sirius XM.
You can work totally blue on that.
No, I guess so. Competition is saying worse right now.
Yep. Yeah. Wearing tank tops.
So wait, we can curse after this?
Like, well, during the SiriusXM Peacock, I mean, technically we
How
can.
Did I not
Somebody wants to call. By the way, do you think anybody heard my Baker point of view about the dog is actually taking it seriously?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because humans.
I mean, Baker, what type of guy are you, man? There's a dog on his back.
Because right now, someone's
on her back, straight legs in the air, just want to, just like the belly's right there. Got to reach over, give her a scratch. Come on now, man.
Right now, someone's tweeting this.
What type of human are you?
Hold on a sec. I was really disrespected, but I just got to.
Yeah.
That's it. I was disrespected, but hold on a minute.
Let me scratch this dog's
belly. What better way to talk about Brown's disrespect than by giving a dog a belly rub? And the dog pounds like you never gave us a rub.
I think he did.
Perfect.
Like one year.
They had 1 year.
You gave us a belly rub at the dog
pound. Pittsburgh in a playoff game.
That is true. They did.
By the way. Could you imagine? He plays Pittsburgh, does that, almost beats the Chiefs, starts the season against the Chiefs, does what he does against the Chiefs. Because you remember the Browns lost that game on defense.
They were winning, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he hurts his arm, he hurts his labrum. And if he had just basically said, I need surgery right then and there.
Shut it down.
What do you think he would be? He wouldn't be on that couch on that podcast.
I think Ian's probably right. He's probably still the starter. Because they have no choice but to pick up his fifth year and then he's a starter.
Well, he picked up his fifth year anyway. I mean.
Paid that man.
Okay. Charles Davis coming up hour number two on the Rich Eisen Show. On your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Last Friday night.
Yep, that's it.